Daryl Ryder joins us, brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, where Daryl and Andy Baskin track the season episode by episode in their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. And they have post-game drops after every single game. Friends, subscribe to the podcast now, 92.3thefan.com, on the free Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Brian, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Tone, you got a question for Daryl.
Is it a must-win on Sunday?
Uh-oh!
I'm going to say no.
Whoa! We can lose! We can lose!
We can lose! We can lose! We can lose! We can lose!
Yes! Let's go! Win or lose, we'll have fun! Football! Guys, I want to see a good game!
Breathing room! Breathing room! Breathing room!
Tell us why, Daryl.
No trophy this year, though. Well, just looking at this schedule, they've got the Giants next week, which is a game that, frankly, they should win. A trip to Vegas, that's another game that I feel like they should win. Washington follows that. That's another game I feel they should win. So that now you're back to 3-2. Then you get into the meat of the schedule, right? Trip to Philadelphia, that'll obviously be difficult. Cincinnati, Baltimore. And then, of course, the Chargers follow that before you go into the bye week. So it would behoove them to win because the odds of making the playoffs at 0-2 obviously decrease significantly. However, just looking at the schedule, there's three very winnable games on tap after that, and they can still get themselves above 500 before they get into the meat of the schedule.
What did you find to be the biggest issue now that you've had a week to digest what happened against the Cowboys?
Well, I think the biggest issue is the offense. It's a combination, the offensive line, pre-snap penalties, protection problems. You can't have Deshaun Watson getting hit 17 times in a game and sack 6. And then it's Deshaun not making plays when there were plays to be made, taking too long to allow those plays to develop, not exploiting the pressure up front like we've seen him do in years past in his career. I mean, look, he made a living making defenses look silly and putting them on skates when they dial up the pressure, and he would get outside the tackles and either beat them with his feet or beat them with his arm down the field. We saw none of that against Dallas, so it's a combo. Offense, very concerning. A lot of red flags there. No David Njoku this week. We'll see if they can get everything fixed up in a week. But I'm a bit of a realist here. I don't know that all the problems are just magically going to go away when they go to Jacksonville.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers. All right, Daryl, I mean, you're right about that. Getting this offensive line fixed is another comparison here. What do you do with – is Jed Wills going to be able to play on Sunday, or should I just cross him off then?
I don't think so, because both him and Jack Conklin seem to be doing what they did last week. I'm not ruling them out. We'll obviously find out today. But, to me, during the portions that were open to us, it looked like both were taking part-time reps. They were taking reps when they were on the field, but part-time reps. Mm. So I'm not convinced enough to sit here and tell fans to expect one or both on the field Sunday.
So James Hudson there, I would imagine.
Yeah,
the rest of the offensive line. Joel had a sketchy game. DeJuan Jones was really good against Micah Parsons, but everybody else who lined up over him, he seemed to struggle a little bit with him. Yeah, how do you get this offensive line in sync with James Hudson over there as your swing tackle?
Yeah, and Joel told us yesterday that the elbow got banged up a little bit, so there's a chance he might be wearing a brace on Sunday to help that out. DeJuan Jones just has to be in it mentally, right? Because the false starts and the illegal formation penalties, those things can be fixed. That's fixable stuff. So if he can fix that, I think he'll be okay. And it'll certainly help the offense exponentially because you're not doing first and 15 all the time. And the pre-snap penalties certainly did not help them against Dallas, because they just it just felt like in that first half they were playing behind the sticks the whole afternoon there. So if they can fix the pre-snap stuff, I think that goes a long way into making life better for Deshaun and the offense.
Well, Daryl, can I also look at this? A lot of people, I know Mina Kimes had specified it, that quarterback play throughout the first week in a game is down, really down. Dak Prescott, I tell you, I know he didn't have to do too much. I thought the right. Browns did a decent job against Dak Prescott.
They did. I think I said this with you guys on Monday, so I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but if you would have told me going into that Dallas game that Dak Prescott would not throw for 200 yards and he would throw just one touchdown, I would have told you the Browns are going to run the Cowboys out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen, right? Trevor Lawrence last week, he didn't throw, I think it was
160 yards?
Yeah, 160 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
12 of 21 passing. Didn't light it up in week one. Yeah, it kind of feels like, because now teams are not resting, but they're protecting their players in the preseason, these guys aren't getting the work that they need, in my view. And I'm not criticizing it, because I get why Deshaun didn't play in the preseason. I get why teams don't want to put their starting quarterback on the field in the preseason, or do it in a very minimal fashion. But I kind of feel like that September is the just kind of get the engine running month. And then when we get into October, that's when you see these quarterbacks start to take off. Except if your name is Patrick Mahomes.
Well, of course. I'm sorry. I kept trying to cut you off there, Daryl. I was just trying to jump right in, because I know we don't always have the greatest amount of time in the world. Should I give – I don't want to sit there and make excuses. I'm Mr. No Excuses now.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you realize that. I did not
get that memo.
Oh, no, I'm Tough Talking Ken in 2024, man. No excuses.
Okay, all right.
None.
I like it.
And I won't use the R word for Deshaun Watson. But should that give me a little bit more, should I be a little more patient with Deshaun Watson because of the other quarterbacks as well?
Well, I'm actually trying to be more patient with Deshaun. He certainly made that more difficult this week to be patient with him. I had said all along, I expected this offense to start slow. My thing with Deshaun from a football standpoint right now is I need to start seeing it. I need to start at some point seeing some elite quarterback play. So I'd like to see him play better this week, show that things are coming around. And as we go into subsequent weeks here, it's got to get better and better and better. Now, every once in a while, you're going to have a flat tire. I totally get that. But I need to see this guy show me he's worth the headache that he is, and he's worth the contract that he's getting. So, Tough Talking Daryl will be back in a few weeks.
He's not worth the contract that he's getting. I'm trying to just maximize whatever. I'm sorry, that's not a shot at you. I'm just trying to maximize whatever quarterback is there still. The days of 2020 to me are gone.
You have to, Ken.
Yeah.
This is the window of contention right now. The reason the Browns made that trade, okay, because they had a roster ready to win, and the missing link was the quarterback to get them over the top, right? Baker was good, but not good enough in their eyes. So they needed a top-tier quarterback to put them in contention to compete for Super Bowls. And this is why, fair or not, I hold him to the standard I do when it comes to football. That they didn't make this trade just so the Browns can make the playoffs. It's, and I've said this too, it's the Donovan Mitchell principle. Mitchell would say, has been saying, you know, during the going leading into the playoffs and then during the playoffs last year, they didn't make that trade just for me to get this team to the playoffs. Okay? Same thing with Deshaun. They didn't make that trade with, okay, just get us to the playoffs a couple times. No, they made that trade because they believed that he is the player that not only can get them to the playoffs, but can position them to do what, frankly, they've never really done, well, at least since the late 80s, and that is compete to get to a Super Bowl and then hopefully get there and win the thing. That's why they made that trade. That's why they gave up the 6 picks. That's why they gave him the big contract. So, that's why I'm again, giving them a little latitude early to get things going here. But I really need to see some elite quarterback play from him this year, because if we don't see that, Ken, I kind of feel like for them to achieve those goals, they're really climbing up the mountain, regardless of the vast amount of talent they have on this roster.
Daryl, we always wonder when off-the-field stuff happens, if it's a distraction. You got a chance to talk to the players this week. You got a chance to put a microphone in front of some of them. What did you think of their reactions to the Watson questions?
Well, you know, the player, his teammates are concerned about between the white lines. And from the football business aspect of things, Anthony, everybody right now is saying the right things, right? Everyone's saying, including Deshaun himself, that he is focused on football. He is dialed in. He's ready to go Sunday. Teammates are saying the same thing. He's focused on football. They're focused on football. They're not worried about what's going on off the field. But we have to remember, these are human beings too, and things in life affect people, right? I have to feel like that last weekend, Deshaun was affected by the passing of his father on Friday, the passing of his teammate, his college teammate and friend on Saturday. That had to affect him in some ways. These are human beings we're dealing with here. It's easy to say, oh yeah, nothing affects us, we're focused on football. But let's be very realistic about it. I'm sure that behind the scenes, there is an effect somewhere, somehow. Hopefully, it doesn't show on the field Sunday in Jacksonville.
David Bell back on the active roster. Are we headed towards the Pro Bowl again?
Can Carmen win?
Let's go, baby. Let's get a win.
Fire up the Michael Stanley, Ken.
For David Bell, that's how... We're at the bottom of the barrel. You can't say it's not. You can't say it's a not a must win, and then we're playing the Michael Stanley for David Bell coming back. Don't even start with me, Daryl.
Hey, you're the one that brought up David Bell in Pro Bowls.
Real quick, I was writing something down for actually the Sharps and Vermillion. Real quick, because I want to remind myself for later. Did you ask him about Miles and Za'Darius Smith?
No.
All right, sorry, Daryl. Miles, Za'Darius Smith. Anything to be concerned about?
Well, until we get a little more clarity today, I'm always going to be concerned anytime guys pop up with a DNP on Thursday due to injury. So I was told about Miles that it's not that big of a deal, but we'll see today.
Don't scare me like that.
I'm not trying to scare you. I'm giving you a real answer. Well, I will get a better view of it today when they give us the game status reports, or actually we go out to practice and we see if either one or both of them are or are not on the practice field today.
Do you have an eye on that Buffalo running game without Ken Dorsey and the lack thereof right now with our Cleveland Browns?
Not really, because this is a passing heavy offense to begin with.
So a problem? Should we be running the ball more to take care of Deshaun Watson more so he sees fewer ghosts during this spooky season?
I just checked the roster and I don't see Nick Chubb active. So I'm
well. Eventually, we're gonna have to run the ball without Nick Chubb.
I hear you.
I'm not ripping you.
I hear you, Ken. I think it's a little too. The circumstances didn't dictate them running the football on Sunday. Again, getting behind the chains, falling behind on the scoreboard. Tough to stick to the run game there. Jerome Ford punched in that late touchdown. But yeah, I get the question. I'm not dismissive of it, but style of offense they're running combined with the circumstances in the Cowboys game, I'm not going to get too nervous about the run game right now. It's when I'm going to get nervous about the run game, Ken, is when it's 3rd-and-2 and they run it and they can't get the first down. Then I'm going to get nervous about the run game.
All right, Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
Clearly, I did not make you feel better with that answer.
You never make me feel better about anything.
Well, that's good to know.
No, I'm kidding. You're a good guy, Daryl. I didn't mean it like that. You know what I meant.
I know what you meant.
It's just I always want you to talk me down from a ledge. You
know? I know, and I'm probably the last person to look to talk you down from the ledge.
Well, you're an excitable boy, Daryl. You are. Daryl, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Enjoy the football weekend, guys.
Get to the Tua thing. Also, whether or not this is – I hate doing it already. It just seems like such a throwaway garbage thing to ask, but I have to do it. Whether or not this is a must-win game for Nathan when he comes on at 9 o'clock. Is it a must-win? Week 2.
God, yeah, I said no, God. And especially because of the games after it. The three games after it are so winnable, and unless you get blown out this week, you should be favored in all those games.
It's just done so much, and we've done it before. And I hate to be all artsy about it, but it's like, you might as well, we might as well just do Mount Rushmore Radio. Who's your Mount Rushmore? I'm excited about this. I oversold it, and I'm sorry, because it puts pressure on you, and you do not like this type of pressure of me putting something on you. Lima, ladies and gentlemen, has a take about music. And I got very excited because you never... Lima didn't listen to music like we listen to music. Like, Mitch likes music, you can tell. Owen plays music at an arena. Owen obviously loves music. I, big music guy.
Now, I did listen to all rap and R&B growing up.
Okay, but you never reference it because you were like, I was listening to sports talk radio. So there's like no real... I don't get any passion from you about it. There's no passion. So you brought up Kendrick Lamar at the halftime show of the Super Bowl. What did you want to get off your chest about Kendrick Lamar at the halftime show of the Super Bowl?
Well, I figured immediately that it was going to get crushed by so many different areas of society because he, I just don't think he's the crossover, even though he did do a song with Taylor Swift. He's not the crossover artist that they normally go with. Right? I mean, the Super Bowl has always been, for the most part, and there are some one-offs here and there. They go with, you know, Safe or, you know, for various demographics.
Okay. And he is...
I mean, that's someone like Usher.
I assumed he was Safe. We play a song by Kendrick Lamar.
I mean, he has pop songs.
I don't think he's as safe as some others.
Yeah, he has a bunch of pops that made it in the pop charts.
And he has a bunch of collaborations with The Weeknd, with Taylor Swift, with Maroon 5. Like, there's opportunities there to maybe
for the crossover.
Feature, to feature other artists.
So that's the only way they can build this up to make sure the most amount of people stick with the halftime show, right? They have to tease, could Taylor Swift show up?
Yeah.
Could Maroon 5, you know what I mean?
Well, Kendrick Lamar's not a big enough star to draw the general public.
Well, he's a massive star, don't get me wrong.
Should that work?
But I don't think he's got the crossover appeal that so many of the other artists...
Well, and the reason that he's in the forefront of culture right now is for a reason that is not very radio-friendly. Although I have heard the song on the biggest one, on the radio recently.
What is the reason?
The feud.
Is this the thing with Drake?
The feud, yeah.
Could I sound any whiter? Could I sound any older? My Lord. So the thing with Drake is the reason he's a... They didn't put him in the Super Bowl halftime show because of the argument with Drake, though.
I don't know.
I do think they're trying to capitalize a little bit off of it.
This was one of the biggest rap beefs since maybe like Tupac versus Biggie, so I think they were trying to like...
Whoa!
Yeah.
This is biggest since Tupac and Biggie.
It's like the first one of the social media age, for sure.
Well, I'll be dipped. Okay. I didn't realize he was saying all these nasty things about everybody out there. Well,
Mitch, you want to inform
him? Well, I remember what Tupac was singing about Biggie back in the day, about him and his wife. I remember that.
This seemed even crueler. Well, this seemed even pettier.
In the most responsible way, can you describe this, being responsible?
Yeah, so the whole thing started last year when Kendrick went after a song that J. Cole made in which he referenced Drake, Kendrick, and himself as the big three of rap, and then that just was like throwing the grenade in the room just to let out all these beefs between the three rappers. J. Cole got out of it early, apologized for the whole thing, and just, you know, got out of it. Then Drake released a couple of songs against Kendrick. One of them had Tupac's voice on there via AI, which the family did not like. Kendrick then released a couple of songs. Then Drake released Family Matters, which was seen to be like the big, I got you. And then Kendrick, 20 minutes after that song was released, released a song called Meet the Grams, which went in on some personal stuff, allegedly, in Drake's life. And then the next day, Kendrick released Not Like Us, which is arguably the biggest song of the summer not made by Sabrina Carpenter.
When did Mitch become the source? Oh, my gosh. Well done, Mitch. Good job. Hey, I'm serious. Good job.
Thank you. That was 15 minutes of Wikipedia.
Thank you. See, you shouldn't even have said that. I thought you were authority on hip-hop here.
I mean, I know what happened here, but I had to chronicle months worth of stuff.
Well, you just take your things and go. Take your things and leave the station.
Right.
But take the compliments. Take the compliments.
I was blown away. That was pretty good.
I was blown away too, and then he completely ruined it. I thought he was a mainstream star just because I know I've heard that guy singing in the pregame at our football games.
Yeah, he's very big on pregame warm-up music, yes, for people in our communities.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
There's that probably where you've heard him at.
I never heard no cussing in them songs.
Well, yeah, you've probably got the family-friendly versions of those things.
Well, I surely hope so, yes.
I mean, I do go to games, especially because now we do it in travel baseball. They all have the giant speakers on wheels that they play pregame music in, and some teams that we face do not give you the edited versions, and you hear it all.
Uh-oh.
But he has a lot of stuff that has been edited for radio, and even more stuff that has not been edited for radio.
So you are excited about this, or are you just ambivalent?
I'm not as excited as I was for Usher or Rihanna or in recent years. The Weeknd, I thought, was sensational. I thought The Weeknd was really good.
Did he get out of Maze yet?
I mean, that's one of the great memes, right? Justin Timberlake, Lady Gaga. I'm just going back now.
Lady Gaga was amazing.
In 2016, they had Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars.
I understand your crossover appeal thoughts.
Has the least crossover of all of those that I just read.
When I need to know about things like this and wonder, where should I stand on it, I turn to my Facebook, which is not very crossover appealish. No. It's the people that I grew up with in a very small town.
And who get your politics from?
Well, not anymore. You know, I went away from that. I'm not like Ken. I don't keep my politics for politics.
Why am I catching any of this?
It's hot potato right now, right? It got lobbed at me, and you're getting it now. It's your turn, buddy.
Welcome to my world.
But instantly when I go there and I go, ugh, I'm not even watching this year, I go, okay, they probably did it right. They probably got something because there's a very
if you're 50,
narrow-minded thought path.
And let's be honest. If you're 55 years old and white, are you watching this?
No. You know who is? My 18-year-old, my 17-year-old, my 15-year-old, my 14-year-old. Those people are in on it right now. They're very excited for this.
Now, I guess I'd say
I'm a 38-year-old white. I'm going to watch it.
White.
Yeah, if you were very open-minded to this.
Well,
right
I guess
now.
I'd go back, though. If you were 55 and white, Usher, I mean, my sister loves Usher. She's 53.
55 and white also means that Usher was, when you were a teen or in your early 20s, Usher was playing in the club when you were there. You were not in the club anymore.
By the way, Rihanna, 2023. 2022 was Eminem, and they had Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige. Yeah, that's a crossover.
We might as well just call
that everybody.
Owen's warm-up mix in 98.
Yeah, that's percolating. In 2020, Shakira, Jennifer Lopez, Bad Bunny, and that had to be down in Miami, right? That made sense for that.
What year was that?
2020.
You want to take that to rock your world before we get to the Tua thing? Speaking of Miami?
That was in Miami.
I think Jennifer Lopez is wildly overrated.
Like her music or her persona?
Everything.
Her embodiment?
Everything.
As an actress?
Everything. Name it. I think she's overrated. Every guy my age, all you guys just want to sit there and drink her bathwater. And I'm like, I don't see it. I never got it. It doesn't matter to me. The music, the acting, whatever it might be, don't care. Haven't cared. It's nice to get that off my chest. Never a once.
Why? I've never heard you.
Like, I go over to my buddy's houses when I was a kid, and it's always a Jennifer Lawrence poster or something like that, and it was just eating out of her hand. I'm just sitting there going, I don't get it. I don't get it. Whatever. I know I'm in the minority. Just saying it. I feel it, and I felt better getting it off my chest. Speaking of Miami, to a scary situation yesterday, Mike McDaniel spoke about that scary situation, how he was feeling about it. The Dolphins got throttled in this football game, but Tua, not feeling, obviously, up to snuff after this, was able to walk off under his own power. But Mike McDaniel was talking about a scary situation where Tua sustained yet another concussion.
My thought was concern, and I was just worried about my guy. So it's, not something that you ever want to be a part of. You know, you hope not to.
How do you cross the retirement bridge with a young player who is currently 26 years old and has that much money left on his contract? Or do you say, you know what, he's a grown man, he's a taxpayer, I got to butt out of this?
Well, especially because we let boxers and MMA athletes go and go and go and go until they're just not good anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we don't seem to care about them. I brought up the example of Mike Tyson, who's going to be fighting –
But I think more people
wear headgear. But
it's odd, though. I think with now social media and a couple of guys or a couple of people that really want to dive in, I think we care more about personalities than we have for a very long time. Like before, it was only the good stuff. Now you get the mix of the good and the bad because we know more about each other than we've ever known in the past.
That's true, but they also make so much more money that I wonder if that, if the result of that, fans going, well, they make all that money. I mean, I would put my head on the line for that much money.
Put your head on the line for that much money?
That's the thing. They wouldn't want their kids to do it, but they would say it for themselves. If they could make $200 million, what was the contract that Tua just signed?
He had $167 guaranteed, $212, but up to $221.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're just talking about money you'll never see.
I think in many ways, I think people can understand. Like, yeah, he's 26, probably shouldn't be out there after like three more concussions, but you know, make the money while you can, go out there, and they don't really identify with them nearly as much.
Well, you just hit on some. Would I tell my own son if he was a 26-year-old man?
Especially if he's paying for your house and your car.
Well, that's, you know, once you're in a man's power, you must do as he bids you. And it doesn't matter if that man is related to you. Can I suggest it?
Sure.
Can I tell you, can I think about that more when we come back?
Kenny, we're just talking here. Because that was serious last night. And I immediately thought, what's Denzel Ward thinking when he's watching that? He's had two more confirmed concussions than Tua.
Tom McCarthy, Ross Tucker, Westwood won last night's game. You asked me, because you were like, well, what if he was your son? I go, well, if my son was 26 years old and a grown man, I mean, I can only suggest things. Right,
but the sole supporter of like everybody in the family.
That's part of
the deal.
Sticky wicket, man. That's what that makes you feel so greasy. Like you can't.
Like he signed that contract, but if he, and I hate to be talking trite, but sports talk show, we talk about sports, not just the concussions here. But if he were to walk away from the game today, how much money is he leaving on the table?
A hell of a lot. A hell of a lot. And I'm sure if the Dolphins wanted to get nasty about it, which they wouldn't, if the Dolphins wanted to get nasty about it, they could try to recoup something if he were to walk away. But you're not going to do that, and they wouldn't. I'd pray they wouldn't do that. It would be a bad look. If he were my son, I guess I'd have to say, like, listen, it's three big ones here. I'd have to tell you, you gotta do what you think is right for the family, but you got to consider these options here, don't you?
Well, so
if he were my son, you asked it, I said it.
Yeah, so it's a brutal thing to talk about,
brutal.
And obviously we care so much more about concussions than ever before. But we seem to really only care about them to a certain degree. Like if it were an offensive lineman versus a running back versus a quarterback, and if it was a really really good quarterback, and Tua looked at times like he had a chance to be really really good. Now he was. He was abysmal last night all the way around. I mean, that was very. I mean, people, we are week to week on so many players in this league right now. It's not just Deshaun Watson. We're focused on Deshaun Watson. The stuff that people were saying on social media about Tua last night is he's cooked. He's done. I mean, this guy who's been really good throughout his NFL career.
He's been great.
His numbers.
There's been times he's been great. I mean, it's been a little bit up and down.
Hasn't been good in the playoffs, but how many quarterbacks have been good in the playoffs? It's like three. So that walk away from the playoffs and you're like, good. It's like Stafford, Mahomes, and who else? Like they're just aren't very made. Josh Allen at times.
Josh is now committed. Josh might end up being he might end up being, why am I drawing a blank? Why am I drawing a blank? Bolo tie, San Diego Chargers. Come on, Philip Rivers. Yeah. Like Josh Allen might end up being the Philip Rivers of our generation. Where it's like, yeah, he's a really good quarterback, but people are like, whatever. Because he's going to run into a guy who's a legend, the living legend there. I think you're right about a lot of what you say, but you're paying for the chance to make the playoffs. And for him, you have to consider all these options here. There's a lot of people who I'm sure rely on him. Boy, you put me in a really weird predicament there because I'm like, well, you make your own money. I don't need to get any of that. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to not accept a house. You're going to not accept a car. You're going to not accept whatever trappings of of what can offer, because once you say yes once, you can say yes to all the other things, but then you don't want to be beholden to him on such a tough sport, because then you become reliant upon him, and then you start making decisions, or you start trying to influence him on decisions that maybe are not really responsible. Maybe are not I don't know how bad it is. It could be really, really bad. Well, yeah, if you got a nice car or a couple of nice cars and a nice house and a better neighborhood than you ever lived in before, is that going to affect your judgment? Because you get used to that style of life, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you start thinking things that are crazy, because I could try to use his father as an example here, because we all know the story about when he was at Alabama and the story that came out before the national championship game about the corrections Mr. Tagovailoa would put Tua under, and that became a big storyline. Because you start to tell yourself things that might necessarily not be true. Oh, I've made all these sacrifices for him. I made all these sacrifices for him. I paid for things. I robbed Peter to pay Paul to pay for this training and did these things. Boy, once you say yes to, I mean, that's a totally different conversation, a deeper conversation. You accept gifts from your own child. It's great when you think about it, and then you have this pop up where it looked as bad as it got, and it's looked even worse to me before with Tua Tagovailoa. Well, now, is that going to affect the way you're thinking?
Well, so the
hopefully
question is,
not. You pray not.
Does the NFL have a responsibility? This is where it gets really interesting, because the NFL only seems to care, like many corporations, they only seem to care up to a point where there's liability there, right? That seems to be, and why they got hammered on the concussion lawsuit to begin with, is because they were presented with evidence that concussions cause CTE, and CTE has this life-altering negative benefit. And now we know, and they know, and now everybody knows. So what responsibility does the NFL or a given team, we don't even think of it from a team level, we say the NFL,
the teams
are going to never step in,
the
right?
NFL has the responsibility to impose rules and to inform their employees, and that's what they've done. That's why they got sued, because they didn't inform the employees, and that's why they had to do the $1 billion settlement or however much it ended up becoming. And that's why they impose these rules. They never want to have that type of situation again. A corporation, which I know the NFL technically is not, but what it is, let's call it what it is. They move for fear of litigation. That's what they move for. The last thing they ever want is another class action suit. So they put these rules in. But Tua is an employee to them. And the next quarterback and the next quarterback and the next quarterback are all employees to them. And so they deal with them with the way they can, because their idea is to make money as much as they possibly can while not turning the viewer off.
Now, I see this, and again, always social media response is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Mr. Fantasy, players have disability policies and insurance policies that pay them a significant amount of their salary, if not all. I always have heard that my whole life.
That's the old Lloyds of London thing that pro wrestlers used.
If it were true, wouldn't players be hanging them up every day? Like, they just don't. So they do. They continually, if these insurance policies were that good, if they were that fulfilling, wouldn't players be like Denzel Ward? Wouldn't he retire?
Yeah, but remember, once you make $15 million, you want to make $30 million. Once you make $30 million, you want to make $100 million. So you always want to make more money, and there's only so much time you can do this and make that amount of money. So even if they have great insurance policies and they just go, forget it, I'm walking away. Well, yeah, all of a sudden then you got things that you were paying very expensive rates for that you might not have the wherewithal to do that anymore. That's why they play it out, because you want the $100 million, so you're going to be taken care of. So this standard of living that you have, maybe you take a little bit of it, but you can always have this standard of living.
Kenny took out an insurance policy on his ears. He could have stepped away at any point. He didn't. How are those ears doing?
I can't hear anything.
It's that bad?
Oh, I'm deaf. I'm deaf. It's going to get worse as time goes on.
What's your DEF CON?
We're at like DEF CON 2.
DEAF?
Yeah. The reason is I turn my headphones up so loud because I don't want to scream at everybody. That's why. I'd be even louder than I would be if my headphones weren't so low or were lower. That's what happens. You pay the price, don't you?